Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
The thing I want you to get into your spirit today is that God is the only way. That there is no other way. There is no other way. There's no other option. There's no plan B. There's no just in case. Come on. I need you to wake up today. I said, God is the only way. Amen? You know, last week, I shared a message, and there was something that's been on my spirit, and I didn't go into it last week. I kind of maybe set it up. But I talked last week about us, how we're anchored together, how we need one another, how the body of Christ has to be, you know, bind together, you know, be connected. And I began to do that because of the message I wanted to deliver to you today. And it seemed very fitting for some of the stuff that has happened yesterday. I'd be remiss if I wasn't talking to you also today about Israel. So in my message, I'm going to be preaching to you the message that God laid on my heart, but I will also be tying some things in of Israel today to explain some things that are happening. If you do not know what is happening in Israel, they were attacked yesterday by the Hamas, and they began missile strikes on Israel. Hundreds of people have died, and it's the worst that people have seen it in years. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he has declared it is war. So that's the state that it is in. I'll be sharing some of that in my message for you today. But what the Lord had began to lay on my heart a couple weeks ago, as I shared what I shared last week and knew what I wanted to share this week, was that there are storms. That there are storms that are happening, that are coming, maybe that you're going through. You know, as I've been talking to those and I've been seeing, hearing from different people, maybe it's not a war like what we're seeing in Israel, but maybe you're going through a squall. Maybe you're just going through a little thing, but it's something and it's real to you. And as I began to just hear the word of the Lord just be kind of impress upon me that there will be storms. And storms, if you're not going through them, storms are coming. And they may affect you directly, and they may not. It may be what you're seeing with Israel, but storms are coming. But, you know, we've talked about different people, or I've heard from different people that are going through storms in their life with maybe financial crisis, maybe with their job. We've seen those that are going through storms in their families, where there's issues going on in their families, where there's death of loved ones, where there's, you know, big deals happening inside the family unit. It's a storm. It's a battle. It's a squall. You know, there are so many different things that are happening. And so the question is, and that's why I love the music today. I love the worship today, because it was letting you know that, as John said, that all the things you're thinking when you don't see God is a lie from the enemy. Amen? And that if you get in your spirit what God said is true, and you realize that there is no other way but God. There is no other way but God. If you get that in your spirit and understand, what am I supposed to do in the storm? What am I supposed to do in the squall? What am I supposed to do in the trial? What am I supposed to do in the battle? That's what I want you to walk out of here today knowing. Because you know what's happening. Maybe it's in your life. Maybe it's affecting you directly. Maybe not. But it is with someone sitting in here today. I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 27. The book of Acts, chapter 27, I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation today. I'll be reading quite a few scriptures so you can follow along. When the time came, well, let me pause. This is the Apostle Paul here. The Apostle Paul was in 26, was on trial with King Agrippa for preaching and sharing the gospel and declaring that Jesus is Lord and the Messiah has come. He was on trial. And then he requested, at Paul's request, to be brought before Caesar. And so they had granted that request. King Agrippa had granted that request, and this is what was happening. Paul was being transported to Rome to be brought before Caesar. So when the time had come, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left on a ship whose home port was Adramyttium, on the northwest coast of the province of Asia. It was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province. The next day, when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so they could provide for his needs. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course. So we sailed north to Cyprus between the island and the mainland. Keeping to the open sea, we passed along the coast of Sicilia and Pamphylia, landing at Myra in the province of Lycia. There, the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board. We had several days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. But the wind was against us, so we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island, past the Cape of Salmon. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens, near the town of Lycia. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. One part there, and maybe a translation in your Bible, says it was past the time of fast. It was fast had already gone by. It is talking about fall. And matter of fact, even more so, it is actually talking about the 5th of October, which was just a couple days ago. And Paul spoke to the ship's officer about it. He said, "Men, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well." But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since Fair Haven was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, further up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. Not only was Fair Havens a small harbor, but it was an exposed harbor. It was a small town. They didn't want to spend winter in a small town. They wanted a place that they could go and explore the wilds of a city. So it was their own desires that led them further. Further up the coast of Crete to spend the winter, Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. Verse 13, when a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and the wind of typhoon strength, called a northeaster, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. One thing I want to just stop for a second and point out to you is when these times of trouble come, when storms come, when trials come, when financial hardships come, when bumps in the road in your marriage comes, when things with your children go awry, do you give up and let it run its course? Do you give up and say, que sera, sera? You know, whatever will be. Some people just walk through that and go, well, God has a plan, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And they just give up. They just let it go. Instead of realizing that they still have a position to hold. See, God has given us a position to hold in times of storm, in times of trial. It is not give up and say, well, whatever God wants to do. He does have a plan, but his plan is for you to stand firm. His plan is for you to stay strong. His plan is for you to hold the course. But they didn't do that here. They said they gave up and let it run before the gale. Nothing we can do. Verse 16, we sailed along the sheltered side of the small island named Cauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard a lifeboat being towed behind us. And then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Cyrtus off the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continue to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and stars until at last all hope was gone. Often in the storm, in the trial, our biggest mistake is we let hope be gone. We give up on hope. Hope is a funny thing. Some people, you hear the expression, they're hanging on by a thread. But you know what? If that's hope and you're hanging on by that thread, it'll hold. If it's hope, it'll hold. You see people go through and boy, they hope for circumstances that are never going to change. And they hope, they're holding on, hoping for the wrong thing. Oh, I'm hoping that this person that I'm trying to change will change. They'll hold on to that hope. They'll hold on to that hope of that I can make this person a better person. They'll hold on to that hope. But not to the hope of what God said. Not to the hope of what His Word is. Not to the hope of a promise that He's given. That is the question you have to ask is, what do I put my hope in? You have to learn to put your hope in God. We can't begin to hold on to the wrong hope or let hope be gone. So hope here began to sink. And oftentimes when hope is gone, we sink too. We sink into depression. We sink into anxiety. We sink into fear. We sink into despair. We sink into these things because we've released hope. We've released hope of what God said. We've released hope when it comes to God gave you a promise to be healed. You just come in to go with fear and go, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to have to accept it. I'm never going to be healed. We began to just fall into a deeper and deeper anxiety and depression and fear because we cannot hold on to hope. Hope will cripple you if you don't have hope. If you don't have hope, it'll cripple you. But as we look on, verse 21, it even says, no one had eaten for a long time. I want you to pay attention to that. No one had eaten for a long time. Because oftentimes, here's something else that happens when you begin to let your hope go. You don't come to a place to be fed. It didn't say they didn't have any food. See, we sometimes mistakenly read that and go, well, they didn't have any food. It didn't say that. It said no one had eaten. They were on a cargo ship that hauled food and grain. Yes, they had started to throw some cargo overboard, but they had kept what they needed. They could have eaten, but they didn't eat because they were in despair. How many times do you sit here and realize the trial you're going through life and say, well, you know, like John said, well, God must not be good. I can't see God in this. So we don't come to church to be fed. We don't get with our brothers and sisters in Christ and say, build us up. Help me. I'm going through it. I need a hand. We want to push them away and we find ourselves alone. We find ourselves stop eating the nourishment that we need. So finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place. He couldn't help the I told you so moment. And not left Crete. You had avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, don't be afraid. It must show that Paul was a little bit afraid. He was a little bit afraid because the angel came and told Paul, don't be afraid. For you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. He said, I believe God. He didn't say, I believe in God. He said, I believe God. See, the difference is, oftentimes we come to church and we hear about all the promises of God and we say, I believe in God. Guess what? Congratulations, here's a gold star. So do people living heathen lives in the world. That doesn't make you special, that you believe there is a God. But he said, I believe God. That means in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, I believe what he said is true. He said, take courage, I will not die. He said, take courage, those with you will also survive. And he said, I believe God. Do you have that faith in you today that says, I believe God? I don't believe, Paul had done given up believing in the shipmaster. He gave up believing in the sailors that they could get him there safely. He gave up believing in the ship. Well, I don't think the ship's going to hold. I've given up believing in the ship. I've given up believing in everything else that I see my security in, and now I say, I believe God. You know, it's awful that sometimes we have to be taken down, beaten down through the storm, and let the ship be destroyed, and let everything else fall apart before we say we believe God. But oftentimes we are the ones that get ourselves in those situations because we put our hope in man. We put our faith in a job. We put all these other things in other things and not in God. And when those things are ripped away and torn away, we have to ask ourselves, do you still believe God? I believe God. Paul found himself just as Job did in Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of everything happening, I believe God. I'm going to pause from this message to talk to you a moment about what's happening in Israel. So there's an attack that's happening on Israel. It was a surprise attack yesterday. They began to attack them with missiles, and people flew in gliders, and hundreds of people have died, and they're beginning, there's fire all across the city. I mean, destruction. If you've watched the news, or if you search for it, you'll see all the things that are happening and it looks awful. And they're coming, something is coming against Israel. The enemy is coming against Israel. But there's something you must know. This isn't the first time that the enemy wanted to come against Israel. This isn't the first rodeo, right? I want to share with you this scripture out of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. It's in when the king of Aram was at war with Israel. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel. He was at war with Israel. He brought all these troops to destroy Israel. Then, jumping over, it says on verse 14, so one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. So they had enough men, horses, chariots to surround the city. Now, if you know anything about Israel, you'll know it's not a very big place. It's a small place, so they had enough men to surround it. And it says, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses and chariots everywhere. I want you to pause for a moment. Think about those yesterday that woke up in Israel to sirens going off, to bombs landing, to fire bursting out. Roger Hoagland, who we support, is there in Israel now. And he said he's never heard anything like it with all the sirens going off. Imagine waking up just like this. You come out and you see the city surrounded. You know that imminent destruction is at hand. And the man cried, "What do we do now?" to Elisha. And he said, "Don't be afraid." Well, that's what the Lord told Paul. When you're going through a trial, when a battle is at hand, don't be afraid. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, God doesn't want you to be afraid. He said, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." I want you to know that today there are more on Israel's side than against Israel. I want you to know that today Faith Worship Center is standing on the side of Israel. I want you to know that there are angels that are standing on the side of Israel. There are more on their side than on the other side. There always has been, and there always will be. I just need you to know that today. And he said, then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. They're there. Sometimes we don't see what God has positioned. See, sometimes we get so focused on the storm, we get so focused on the attack of the enemy, that we forget to say, "God, let me see. Open my eyes to see that you're standing there. Open my eyes to see that your warring angels are about me." And that's what he wasn't afraid. Elisha said, "I'm not afraid, I know. Lord, just let open his eyes and let him see." We have to begin to see into the spiritual realm. You got to open your spiritual eyes and see what God is doing. Everything that is happening with Israel isn't something for us to be upset about, worried about. It is for us to stand on the side of God and say, "I believe God. There are more on our side than on their side. I believe God. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe God." There's so much that we have to understand, but we also have to realize the importance of many things. So, this attack, we've always looked at numbers here. We've always looked at things that are significant. There's much that is hidden that we don't see until sometimes later times that God reveals them. Often he reveals them later, but it's unique for us to look at them. Yesterday was 50 years to the day of the Yom Kippur War. 50 years to the day. In 1973, the Syrians attacked Israel. Like I said, this is not new. This is, people have been doing this from the Bible to our current history. The Syrians attacked Israel in the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago to the day. Yesterday was a Jewish holiday, and today starts the next Jewish holiday. The next Jewish holiday focuses on the new cycle of the new year. New beginning starts today for the Jewish holiday. Their new beginning is at war. What are you doing, God? That's our understanding. It's a jubilee. 50 years, the enemy thinks it's one. I'm going to take over in a jubilee and fight Israel again. 1,400 tanks came on Israel in 1973. It was one of the top 10 tank battles of all time in history. 1,400 tanks came. They attacked them in strategically three places. And it would have been easy for the Syrians to take Israel. But all of a sudden, there was a battle, and Israel lost some tanks, and the Syrians lost some tanks. And so God evened it. He did that before with Gideon, didn't he? He just evened it out a little bit. He evened it out in 1973 for the Yom Kippur War. And it was 1,200 tanks to 7. This is a fact. 1,200 Syrian tanks lined up against 7 tanks from Israel. So during the Yom Kippur War, I want to read this fact to you. The 7th Syrian Division launched a surprise attack on the 7th Hebrew month on the 7th day of the week and was defeated by 7 tanks from Israel from the 77th Battalion of the 7th Israel Armed Brigade after 77 hours. What was yesterday's date? Well, I don't know. I know I believe God. I know I believe God. I can take courage and say I stand with Israel because I believe God. I believe that this is an attack of the enemy, that we're going to see God move like he did in 1973. They interviewed one of these tank commanders from the Syrian army. This is 1973. We have technology. They recorded this guy, and his voice began to talk. And I listened to the interview yesterday. And as they talked with this man from the Syrian army, they said, when this battle was going on up north, why didn't you go ahead and cross the bridge and take Tel Aviv? You had Israel. You attacked in 3 points, and the other 2 points just stopped. They stopped advancing and let this battle take place up here. They didn't advance. And they interviewed him and they said, why? Why? And he says, as I pulled up to the bridge, I saw a wall of white angels. And they said, stop, so I stopped. And then this guy and the Israel army flew back. He put together 13 of the tanks that had broke down, and 20 tanks took off after the 1,200 tanks that began to retreat. And 20 tanks took off after them and defeated the Syrian army. One of us will put 1,000 to flight. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter the numbers that it may look like are on our side. I believe God. I can stand knowing that in the storm, I still believe God. In the trial, in the battle, I believe God. And this is what is happening that we're seeing right now. I believe we're seeing some beginnings of end time words and prophecies. I'm telling you, things are going to happen. We're going to see people begin to take sides with the Hamas and begin to try to attack Israel, but they're going to be able to withstand because God is on their side. It doesn't matter what it looks like. So you have to have faith standing on the word of God and say, I believe God, that all the attacks of Israel all throughout time have all been halted, all been stopped, and they will now. God is in control. He always has been. He always will be. But see, we are the ones, when a storm comes, when a trial comes, we give up hope. What if those in Israel saw those bombs coming and heard those sirens and said, it's helpless. We can do nothing. Well, they'd be overtaken. When you're going through your trial, when you're going through your storm, when you're going through what you're going through, I'm telling you, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Even though Paul told them in verse 26, we will be shipwrecked on an island. They don't want to hear it. Sometimes we don't want to hear that news. Sometimes something bad's going to happen. Oh, I don't want to hear that news. I just want to hear it's all good all the time. Verse 27, as I go back to Acts 27. About midnight on the 14th night of the storm, as we were being driven across the sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. And they dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep. But a little later, they measured again and found that it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid they would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed till daylight. I want to talk to you today real quick about when you're in the midst of the storm that we got to drop four anchors. There's four things that we need to know that in the midst of trials we're going to stand on. In the midst of this battle in Israel, we're going to stand on. In the midst of whatever you're going through, you need four anchors that you're going to drop and say, that anchor holds. These anchors that you drop remind you that the anchor holds. It doesn't give up. It won't let you down. It won't fail. It will hold. The first anchor is the anchor of faith. Our name is not Faith Worship Center for just by accident. For 29 years, you've heard our apostle preach on faith, because faith is an anchor. It is something that we're grounded in. It is something that holds strong. It holds true no matter what. Have faith in God. We have to learn to have faith. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we have to realize he is not shaken. He is not moved. We have to have faith in the anchor. The anchor holds. Can't let our faith waver. Can't let it waver. We can't let our faith down. We have to stay strong in faith. It's the first thing we do is drop an anchor of faith. Storm, faith. Battle, faith. Trouble in my marriage, faith. Lost my job, I got faith. All the situations that can happen never can take away your faith. You have to hold to the anchor of faith. Number two, the second anchor we must drop is the anchor of surrender. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old man was crucified with him so that the body of sin would no longer dominate us, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So we can now surrender knowing that we are not dominated by sin. We have to surrender to what God is doing. Oftentimes we find that hard to do. Well, I don't understand this plan. I don't like this. I don't like knowing that our ship is going to be destroyed. I don't like the battle I'm going through. We don't want to surrender to God's plan. We think we can fix it. You know, they thought that here in this storm too. Verse 30. And then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. And they lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer and soldiers, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard. So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. They surrendered their plan, their idea, their way out. I see a way out. I'm going to take it. How many times in the midst of a trial are you looking for a way out, but it's your own way out? It's your own. God said, stay the course, and you gave up. No, I found this out right here. I'm going to take it. God said, don't give up. I got a good job for you. I got a promise. Oh, I'm going to take this job instead, God. I think I found my own way out. When God says, you know, don't buy this house or buy that house, and we say, well, God, I really like this one better. We always are looking for our own ways and not surrendering ourselves to the will of God. It's an anchor. When you drop an anchor of surrender, you're saying, not my will, but yours be done. Oh, that's an anchor of surrender. We have to learn to surrender. in the midst of the storm, the anchor of surrender holds. If I could just surrender to God's plan and not worry about my own. If I could just want God's will and not my own. It takes surrender. When we surrender, we are no longer holding on to the problem. And this allows us to embrace Jesus fully. That's what surrender does, because oftentimes we don't surrender because we're holding on to the problem. God said, just surrender it to me. I'm here wanting to take it. If you let go of the problem, you can embrace me. And I got the problem. That's why this that's going on in Israel, the things that we have seen, even in our own United States, I don't worry. I'm not afraid, because I know that the anchor holds. I can embrace Jesus and he'll get me through. He'll take care of me. He'll bless me. He'll make a way for me. Because I'm not trying to make my own way. The anchor of surrender. Number three, and we've talked about this one. The anchor of hope. You got to have an anchor of hope. Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor. Oh, you got to have an anchor of hope. You can't let your hope be gone. You can't get rid of all hope. You have to have hope in Jesus Christ. Hope is the imagination of faith. Hope sees God acting on your behalf. We see things, we hope for things, but we got to know that we're hoping in God. That anchor holds. That anchor of faith, that anchor of hope holds. I see God acting. I see, we see that, we sing that other song, I'm going to see a victory. That is hope, seeing God in action. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory in this situation. And I'm telling you, I'm standing here with all full assurance of hope, saying Israel will see a victory. Because I have hope in Jesus Christ. I believe God. Verse 33, it said, just as day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. He says, you've been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks. He was restoring hope to them. He was saying, I know you're worried. I know you see the trial. I know that it's been 2 weeks and you feel you've been beat up. You've been watching the ship battered. You've had to throw stuff overboard. You've lost some of your own possessions. I get it. But have hope. Don't be worried. Have hope. You know, when you're lacking hope, it's important that you come to the table and begin to eat. The Word of God, the Word of prayer. Get into the inner sanctuary of God's presence, because that's where hope is restored. It's an anchor. We got to find the anchor of hope. The fourth anchor is the anchor of thanksgiving. Verse 34, Paul said, please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair on your heads will perish. And then he took some bread and he gave thanks to God before them all. And he broke off a piece and ate it. And then everyone was encouraged and began to eat. Do you know what are something about thanksgiving? When you start thanking God, all of a sudden you just get encouraged. You just begin to thank him for what's going to happen. I don't know what situation you're going through, but if you're broke and you say, man, I don't see the end, you begin to thank God for the blessing. And all of a sudden, you get excited about it. God, I thank you for that financial blessing that's coming. I thank you for that new job that's coming. When that spouse is acting like a rotten no good, you know, you say, God, I thank you that he's the best husband. I thank you, God, she's the best wife. Lord, I thank you. You've given me the right person. All of a sudden, you begin to look at them a little differently. Because when you begin to have thanksgiving, when you lower an anchor of thanksgiving, oh, you're encouraged. You get encouraged through Thanksgiving. But oftentimes, it's hard to find Thanksgiving in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a trial. Well, I don't know. You don't know. All this happened to me. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't have to know what you're going through to know that the anchor holds. If you'll drop it, it'll hold. If you'll hold on to it, it won't let you down. The anchor holds. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." What's His will? For you to be thankful. No matter what comes, no matter what storms, no matter what trials, His will for you is to be thankful. Be thankful because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never given up. He's never changed. He's never let you down. He's never let Israel down. We can go through this Bible story after story, war after war, test after test, all the way up into our current history, all the way up into yesterday, and know that God will still hold sure to His promise. We have to be thankful for survival. Thankful for mercy. Thankful for the lesson. Thankful for the experience of a miracle. Be thankful for what God's doing. Man, I'm thankful you are here today. I'm thankful that all the trials you've been through, all the heartache that you've been through, that you're still here today. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful to see you continue to stand firm, even when I've seen you go through the trials and the storms and the battles and the lies of the enemy. I'm also thankful that I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. I believe God. When we look at His word, He says He's already won the battle. He's already got the victory. So I'm thankful that I'm on the winning side. I'm going to tell you today, if you don't know Jesus, you're not on the winning side. If you haven't accepted Him into your life, if you don't follow Him, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, you are not on the winning side. But it's easy to get on that side. You don't have to be like LeBron James and jump ship just to go win a ring. You just have to say, "I believe in Jesus today," and you're on the winning side. Today you ask Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and you're on the winning side. You have to believe that He has a plan for you. You have to know God, to know that everything I went through was a lie from the enemy, was an attack from the enemy, and it wasn't God, but He has something better for me. You can be on the winning side. Isaiah 43. Verses 1 and 2. It says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.'" Oh, hallelujah. I believe that deserves a hand clap of praise to God. I believe that deserves a good amen. Because you will go through trials. You will go through difficulties. There will be storms. But God has promised to never leave you and never forsake you. He has promised that you will not be burned. You will not drown. You don't have to fight to keep your head above water. All you got to do is drop your anchors. There's four anchors I need you to drop today. We got to have faith. We got to surrender. We got to have hope. And we got to be thankful for all that God has done. When we drop these anchors, we know that a new day is coming. Just as today begins a new year, a new cycle, a Jewish holiday today for new beginnings, a new day is coming for Israel, where they may be stepping out into a new thing that what God's doing. I'm just excited that in my lifetime, I'm going to get to see the hand of God move mightily against the evil powers of this world. Because it will happen. They want to put out their ugly head and God will strike it down. That's what's going to happen in this situation. Oh, I was reading and studying, and then I've got some theories on that I won't go into today. But I believe God. How many of you can say, I believe God? How many of you can say, I believe God? Even though the storm and the trials, even though all I've been through, just like Paul said to him, he's given me a promise, he's given me a vision, and I believe. Oh, if we could just get that in our spirit. Get it in your spirit today. The anchor holds, and I believe God.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.